This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. Today we're going to be talking about something very, very interesting about franchising. A number of franchises are out there. We see them every day, whether it be McDonald's or Dunkin' Donuts, Marriott's or whoever the case is, whether it be hotels, Molly Maid, Papa John's. But there's a number of franchises out there. But there's an initiative going on by an organization called the International Franchise Association that's focused on getting veterans into becoming franchise owners. And I have with me the president of the International Franchise Association, Steve Caldera. He's on the line with me. Steve, welcome to Fed Access.
Hey, Derek. It's great to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. You know, Steve, you got this great program, and, you know, me being a veteran and everything else, I was looking around. I'm always looking at different veteran programs. But I saw this VetFriend thing, and you can find it at VetFriend.com, which is VetFarn.com. But tell us about this strategic initiative for the International Franchise Association to get veterans to be franchise owners.
Sure, I'd be happy to. If we roll the tape back to 1991, in the wake of the Gulf War, the International Franchise Association started VetFran, a key strategic initiative that offered financial incentives off of the initial franchise fee for veterans to get involved in our industry. Why? Because veterans are used to following systems, structure, being on teams, and it's all about operational excellence. And when you look at the basic tenets of franchising, it's all about following proven systems, structure, working with teams, operational excellence. And so whether you're a franchise owner, a veteran franchise owner, or you're a team member of a franchise, veterans just adapt really given those basic tenets that I just talked about, that crossover between the military and the franchising industry. So for about 20 years or so, the program sort of rolled along, and we brought in, you know, maybe close to 2,300 veterans as small franchise owners. But when the call went out last year by First Lady Michelle Obama and Dr. Jill Biden and their Joining Forces initiative, as well as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's Hiring Our Heroes program, we looked inside ourselves as an industry, as an organization, and said, you know we have 66,000 franchise businesses that employ 815,000 people. And that, you know, so there was a good foundation there. And we said, you know what, we need to make a commitment. We need to ratchet up this program. We can kick it up a notch. And so we made a commitment as an industry to hire and recruit as team members on Veterans Day, November 2011, 75,000 veterans, military spouses, and 5,000 wounded warriors by the end of 2014. And we just released a study on Veterans Day conducted by Franchise Business Review, a very respected research and consulting firm that tracks the franchise industry. And I'm happy to report that we have nearly, in 1 year, hired 65,000 veterans. And of those 65,000 veterans, Derek, 4,300 plus have become franchise owners. So while we haven't yet reached our goal, which was a three-year goal, after 1 year, I can tell you we're well on our way to our goal, and I feel very confident that we will surpass that goal sometime in 2013. And even since that study came out this past week, Marriott International just stepped in with a three-year commitment to hire 500 veterans a year for a total of 1,500 veterans at their Bethesda, Maryland corporate-based headquarters. So the momentum continues. When we started the program, we had 380 members of VetFran. Since we ratcheted it up the VETFRAN program, which we now call this component Operation Enduring Opportunity. We're now up to 530 members.
Wow.
So we're very excited about what we've achieved, humbled by what we've achieved, but yet we know we still have a ways to go to meet our commitment. And once we meet our commitment, quite frankly, Derek, I'm sure we're going to continue to try to build on the original commitment.
Yeah, without question. You know, Steve, as we're thinking about the number of veterans who are coming back, and I think this is definitely a noble effort that you guys are doing. And as people think about your membership, you know, even I was surprised about the number of you know, members you have. Break down who are members and who are some of the franchises. You know, we heard about Marriott, but what's the range of the different kind of companies who are franchises that if a veteran is out there, they may want to consider this thing?
Sure. Well, let me even start with a sort of a macro scope of the industry, and let me drill down, Derek, if you will, to some of those companies that are involved in the Operation Enduring Opportunity and our VETFRAN initiative. We represent 825,000 franchise establishments in the United States.
And did you say 825,000?
825,000.
Wow.
We are in every state. We are in every congressional district. We are on virtually every main street of America. We account for over $2.1 trillion in economic activity, and we account for nearly 18 million jobs and 3.4% of U.S. GDP. So we are job creators in this industry. And the great thing about franchising is that you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. So you have the franchisor who gives you support, whether it's HR, training, marketing, leveraging supply chain efficiencies, and you get to license that brand as a franchisee, and they support you in all of these different ways. And so it's been a great place for the aspiring entrepreneur, especially as we've gone through this recession, we're coming out of this economic downturn, to look for how do I control my own destiny. And so franchising will grow 1.5 to 2% this year, as we did last year.
Steve,
we had 165,000 jobs this year, nearly 10,000 new establishments. But we could be going quicker if it weren't for some of the legislative and regulatory initiatives being thrown our way,
and Steve,
and some of the elements of the economy.
Hold that right there, Steve. You got some good stuff. I need to take a quick break, and because you got a lot of good stuff that we need to talk about. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back, and I want to get right back as you're drilling down and kind of letting us know. I mean, this is even surprising to me that there's that many franchises out there. So let's keep on drilling this thing down, because I think people need to be aware of the opportunities that are out there.
Absolutely.
We're talking to Steve Caldera. He is the president of the International Franchise Association. They have a strategic initiative called VETFRAN. You can find, Steve, the website's what? Franchise.org, right? That's the main website. And then
www.franchise.org, but also VETFRAN has its own website, so that would be VETFRAN.com.
Gotcha.
But you can obviously access a lot of our information about our veterans-related initiatives through our website, but VETFRAN.com lives on its own. It stands on its own, and so you can get anything and everything you need to know about what we're doing. An Operation Enduring Opportunity there.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this break. We're talking to Steve Caldera, International Franchise Association. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about a strategic initiative to get veterans involved in being franchise owners. When we talk about franchises, we're talking about everything from owning a hotel like Marriott that's a franchise, owning a Dunkin' Donuts or McDonald's or whatever the case is. A number of different franchises are out there. We just found about a startling figure, which is I'm very happy to hear about this figure, 825,000 franchises are out there. Not 825, but 825,000 franchises are out there that our people can get involved in. We're talking to Steve Caldera. He is the president of the International Franchise Association. They run this veteran franchise initiative called VETFRAN. You can find it at VETFRAN.com. And Steve, you were breaking down the industry. I know you said that there's some legislative hurdles that are preventing some things that's going on, but keep on with what you were breaking down in terms of that and what the industry entails. And who are some of the, you know, in terms of service industry and everything else, what can people look into getting into with franchising?
Yeah, well, I won't spend too much time on the legislative regulatory aspect because it's really important to get as much information out as we can to those veterans that are out there that might be interested in franchising. But You know, comprehensive tax reform is a big issue for us. Tax rates at their current levels will expire at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So we represent both franchisors, corporations. So, you know, we represent companies like McDonald's and 7-Eleven and, you know, others.
Right.
But we also, the majority of our membership really are the franchisee, the small business owners. And 80% of those business owners are LLCs, they're S-Corps. They file their business profits on their personal income tax return. So we think it's very important, as the president states and bipartisan members of Congress state, as many of our corporate members state, that corporate tax reform is important to be more competitive and increasingly global economy. But at the same time, it can't come on the backs of the small business community that creates 65% of all net new jobs in America, according to the U.S. Department of Labor. So you can't have corporate tax reform without individual tax reform, and so we're working very diligently on getting that message out. You know, the impending cost of health care has been something that our small business owners have been learning how to deal with and how to implement, as the majority of that law will go into implementation in 2014. As we went into the recession and are still slowly working our way out of this economic downturn, Derek, access to capital, especially for the aspiring entrepreneur, has been difficult to get if you don't have a track record, you know, performance history track record. And so we've been working very diligently in the area of credit access, working very closely with the lending and banking communities here in Washington, the trade associations that represent them. And while it's been steadily improving, it's quite not where it needs to be, but we're going to stay on that. But let me come back to those companies, some of those companies, across a section of segments that we represent in the industry that are great champions, if you will, of what we're doing for veterans. You have, I mentioned Marriott International, the UPS store, Two Men in a Truck, Wynn Home Inspection, you know, Tasty Light is another one, Sports Clips, Mr. Appliance, Mr. Electric, Mr. Handyman, Mr. Rooter, you know, all those great residential home and residential service type companies. Liberty Tax Service would be another. The Ground Guys. I mean, the list can go on and on. We have 530 of them right now.
Right.
So it's a wide swath of companies that are involved. We have nearly 1,200 franchisor members, and of those 1,200, we have nearly half now that are involved in the VetFran program.
Okay. You know, see, when a veteran, and if a veteran is listening to this, or somebody, you know, passes the word to a veteran, when a veteran engages and say, you know what, this sounds interesting, I want to maybe possibly think about owning my own business, and a franchise may be the way to go. With these programs, are companies, what are they, let's put it this way, what are they doing kind of special when they bring the veteran in to really help facilitate them? And is it for any veteran, or are you looking for more people coming off active duty? I mean, what is that dynamic looking like?
No, it's open to any veteran.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we, and I'll talk about some of the incentives and some of what some of these companies are doing, but it's for any veteran. You know this as well as I do. We have 1 million brave young men and women that are going to return back into the civilian economy over the next 3 years. And we already have a tough economic climate out there. We got 7.9% unemployment. You know, we're looking at 23 million people unemployed, underemployed, or have given up looking for work. So this economy is far from being where it needs to be to generate enough jobs every month to lower that unemployment rate. But in terms of the what companies are doing, if we take the UPS store, for example, their original commitment was to offer to waive the initial franchise fee, approximately $30,000, to the first 10 honorably discharged veterans that met their qualifications to be a franchisee. It was so successful.
Wow.
It was so successful for them that they opened it up to another 10 prospective veteran franchisees.
That's a heavy investment, Steve. I mean, that's off the bat. I mean, just franchise fees alone can be major money.
Well, it is major money, and so, you know, if you, you know, by waiving the initial franchise fee, that takes one of those potential impediments away from a prospective veteran getting involved in terms of a small business ownership. And then there are also great companies out there involved in our industry. There's a company called Bowfly. Think of the Match.com for the franchise industry. It matches up potential borrowers with prospective lenders. And so they've been very involved in our VetFran initiative. Another company, Guidant Financial, where you can use some of your 401k money and roll it over into some of the fees that are associated with starting a franchise. It's all legal, and a lot more folks are doing it each and every day. Those are two companies I can think of right now. There's another company called Sprickster Boost a Hero that is out there championing crowdfunding for some of these veteran franchisees, prospective veteran franchisees, and that is also working very well. So there's a lot of opportunity. We like to say, you know, there's something in franchising for everyone, and the cost of entry depends in terms of the initial franchise fee. Could be $5,000 all the way up to several million dollars, depending on what the brand right. is the real estate involved or not.
Sure.
The great thing about franchising, why veterans do so well, is that it's all about following structure, systems, and that and the operational excellence on the ground. And, you know, it just dawned to me that there's another company. As we've done our work on the credit access issue, there's a company that I think most of your listeners would a bank most of your listeners would recognize, TD Bank,
mm-hmm.
that is also a major supporter of VetFran in many different ways in terms of providing funding and loans and opportunities for veterans, both within their organization to hire them, but also from a lending standpoint to get them going. So these are major companies, whether we're talking banks, prospective lenders, or companies that choose to either hire as team members or recruit as franchise owners, that are really ramping it up in terms of trying to get more veterans involved.
You know, the one thing, and I saw this on your site, and I know I talked to one of your staff, you guys are also reaching out to the wounded warriors. I mean, you know, those who have been, whether it be paralyzed or have had some damages, ID, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, and these guys are embracing becoming franchise owners. I mean, you know, talk to us about that whole piece.
Absolutely. We just did a press conference in Monday on Veterans Day, San Antonio, Texas, with Small Business Administration Administrator Karen Mills, SBA Administrator Karen Mills, who's really been terrific to work with on the credit access issue. And they are doing so much to try to help fund veterans through their Patriot Express loan program. The administrator was in San Antonio with the chair of our VetFran committee, Mary Kennedy Thompson, who is the president of Mr. Reuter, based in Waco, Texas. And they were there with several veterans that received loans either through Bowfly.com, one of the companies I just mentioned, or through the SBA. And one of those recipients was Staff Sergeant Shiloh Harris, who is a wounded warrior and was severely injured by an IED going off in Iraq. And so, you know, there is a case where you have a wounded warrior who is now a small franchise owner, and now he has a son working in the business for Wynn Home Inspection down in Texas.
Wow.
Some great stories coming out of this, and we're very, very, you know, proud of the fact that we're able to talk about some of these stories. And hopefully we're going to continue to have more great stories as we move forward.
You know, Steve, let me take a quick break, because when I want to come back, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, veterans. And then you also got this Veterans Job Bank, you know, because we talked about them becoming owners. But then the bigger dynamic of this is also, as people open up franchises, you've also got people coming aboard who's going to hire more veterans. I mean, so it benefits everybody. I want to talk about all those things when we come back. We're talking to Steve Caldera. He is the president of the International Franchise Association. They have a strategic initiative, and they are developing strategic partnerships with a number of different people, but their strategic initiative is called VetFran, and you can find it on vetfran.com. It's an initiative to get veterans to become franchisees, owners of their own businesses, operating franchises, whether it be a Dunkin' Donuts, a McDonald's, Bowfly? Is that what it is?
Bowfly.com.
Two men in a truck, sports clip, whatever the case is. But you can look at possibly becoming a franchise owner and then start bringing in, hiring more vets, hiring your family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about this more when we come back. This is the Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we're talking about a kind of a new, I shouldn't say just new, but it's about a year old, I should say. Is that right, Steve? About a year old? The VetFriend Initiative?
The VetFriend Initiative itself was started in 1991.
Okay, so this is
But Operation Enduring Opportunity was launched on Veterans Day 2011 here in Washington, D.C.
Gotcha.
With the First Lady and the White House Joining Forces Initiative. At the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who has its own hiring Our Heroes program,
and they
put on, I want to say, close to 800 job fairs over the last year or so around the country, and the chamber itself has been responsible for hiring over 15,000 veterans, I believe, over the past year or so.
Wow, and if you just joined us, that voice that you just heard is Steve Caldera. He is the president of International Franchise Association. He is talking about their strategic initiative called VetFran, and you can find the website at vetfran.com, VetFran.com, which is, and you can also go to franchise.org, which is the International Franchise Association website, and then go to the VetFran from there as well. But Steve, you mentioned at the beginning companies like Marriott and other things like who are really taking a proactive step to hire veterans. You know, is that the case with a number of your franchise, some of your bigger and maybe smaller ones?
Yeah, I mean, we have a whole, you know, it covers the gamut from large, iconic American brands such as Marriott, Century 21, Realty. I think most of your listeners have probably heard of Century 21. You know, all the way down to middle-sized companies and small emerging companies that see the benefit in recruiting veterans as not just as team members, but also as small franchise business owners. And so that is why this initiative, Operation Enduring Opportunity, all the participants offer some kind of financial discount off that initial franchise fee, because they understand that veterans may not have all the financial resources that it would take to open up a franchise. And so it's been very successful, and, you know, we're going to continue to hammer away at it.
You know, when for a veteran who's thinking about this, and you may not be able to speak for all veteran franchise, but in order to prove that they are a veteran, I mean, should they have their paperwork with their DD-214 and other things like that ready, so that when they do approach an organization, do they need to provide this information to them? And do you know how those processes work, Steve, for the veterans who are listening?
Well, I mean, obviously, if they're interested in purchasing a franchise, then obviously they would speak directly to the franchisor.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, each franchisor has, you know, their own set of paperwork that would need to be filled out. And, the franchisor would need to do their due diligence on the applicant. But assuming that the veteran is an honorably discharged veteran and the paperwork, you know, is filled out in a manner that's acceptable to the franchisor, And then that's when the conversations begin to take place on, would this veteran qualify for the discount?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps in some cases, like I just mentioned with the UPS store, they've completely waived the discount for 20 honorably discharged veterans. And, you know, you can't go too many city blocks without seeing a UPS store these days.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It just depends on the brand. But if a company's committed to VetFran and Operation Enduring Opportunity, they try to, you know, streamline the process as best they can to help that veteran provide the information that the franchisor will need to make a decision on how best to move forward.
You know, with these organizations, a lot of times, and I think this is something that you were kind of hinting to about why veterans make successful franchise owners, a lot of times, just for those who have not gone through this process, you know, becoming a franchise owner requires a lot of training on that process. I mean, you're almost kind of going through a boot camp. Would you say to learn this company's processes and everything else and learn how to get this thing started, right?
Exactly. Earlier in the show, I talked about you're in business for yourself, not by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about, I like to call it formula entrepreneurism, if you will.
Okay.
But the great thing about it, it's a little bit different than starting a business from scratch, Derek. You know, just opening, you know, finding your own real estate, finding your own idea and concept and trying to roll it out. So in the cases of a franchise, you've already got a proven model that's been successful. And the great thing about our industry is that because it's a proven concept, it's a proven model, that template is very scalable in terms of building and growing, providing the right economic conditions, you know, which we've all been battling the last few years, obviously, sure, with the U.S. economy. So that's the great thing about franchising, is that the franchisor is invested in making their franchisees successful. At the end of the day, if the franchisees aren't making money, if they're not successful, at the end of the day, the franchisor is going to be less successful, and it has to be a win-win partnership. That's how it works.
You know, Steve, it's called the International Franchise Association. I mean, are we also looking at people who can say, listen, for that person who said, I just don't want to focus in on the domestic market. Mm-hmm. I want to focus in on just the broader market. I mean, are all franchises, you know, and some may be part of VetFran, but I mean, are there franchises who deal with a global market space that, you know, some of these veterans can get involved in?
Well, here's what I can tell you. You know, we have approximately 265, 270 U.S.-based companies doing business around the globe. Mm-hmm. I just returned from 5 days in Brazil, where I spoke to the Brazilian Franchise Association. So increasingly, emerging economies such as Brazil are getting more involved in franchising. It's an economy that's doing really well down there, although it slowed somewhat, like China mm-hmm. has. Mm-hmm. But a Brazilian-based company just bought Burger King, Miami-based Burger King.
Oh, really?
So,
wow, okay.
So increasingly you're seeing more and more companies get involved globally with franchising.
So, I mean, in the dynamic of, and you know, a lot of these franchises, you know, when they get into one kind of dynamic, have you seen people continue to grow? I mean, like, you know, a veteran who maybe buy one franchise and then they say, wow, this is a workable model. Do you start seeing them a lot of times they'll get into other or they'll continue to grow in that, you know, how somebody owns several
sure.
McDonald's? I mean, are you seeing that a lot more with some of these veterans who are getting into this?
Yeah, increasingly you're seeing more multi-concept, multi-unit franchisees than ever before. So, you know, we have a couple of folks on our board that may own several Domino's, several mm-hmm. Popeye's chicken and biscuits. They may own, as part of that portfolio, some Sonic burger restaurants. So increasingly, you know, we also have another board member that owns Taco Bell's and Pizza Hut's and KFC's.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, increasingly you're seeing more of that. Because as credit has dried up somewhat, it's afforded the franchisee that has a track record in performance history and maybe has more capital and cash flow to expand their business, where it's been a little bit more difficult, as I said earlier in the show, to get in for that aspiring entrepreneur to break through because of the you know, capital's a little bit harder to come by these
right.
days. And they don't have that track record and performance history. That doesn't mean it's impossible. It doesn't mean people aren't getting credit every day,
mm-hmm.
Because our industry, as I mentioned earlier, has grown between 1.5% and 2% the last 2 years after flat and negative growth for the first 2-3 years of the economic recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So there are opportunities out there. You know, people just have to do their research, do their due diligence. And again, as I mentioned earlier, there's something there for everyone.
I know you mentioned SBA and other agencies. Are some of these agencies putting a lot more commitment? I know you mentioned kind of the Patriot Express, the loans and everything
mm-hmm.
else. Are some of these agencies putting a lot more commitment into funding veterans? And is franchising part of the funding of any kind of business?
Well, yes. Obviously, you know, we work very close with the Department of Veterans Affairs. I mentioned earlier the Small Business Administration. Those would be two at the top of the list that we work with in terms of, you know, franchise loans and benefits and services for franchisees through the VA, for veterans through the VA. So we work very closely with different aspects of the federal government. We also work with a lot of different military-related type of organizations and associations that we're partnering with,
mm-hmm.
both at the federal level and the state level, across all branches of service. And you can see some of that on our website, vetfran.com, who we partner with, and on our franchise.org website as well. So we are trying to build a wide coalition of organizations and, you know, federal and state agencies that have some kind of cross-pollination in terms of support and programs and initiatives for veterans. So, you know, we've only been into this really cranking at 150 miles an hour since Veterans Day of last year.
Right.
So
right.
In 1 year, again,
a lot of progress.
65,000 veterans. Well, it's the largest private sector hiring commitment that's been made.
Wow.
And we hope that what we have achieved and will continue to work hard at, that other industries will see the franchise industry as an example of what can be done when you really put your mind to it, you educate your members on the benefits of having veterans involved in franchising. And there are great companies like J.P. Morgan Chase, for instance, that has committed to hire 100,000 veterans. I tip my hat to Jamie Dimon and J.P. Morgan Chase for making that commitment.
Right. And take a quick break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be back with Steve in a few minutes. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been having an interesting conversation about what is an initiative that's out there to get veterans into business, to start their own businesses and become franchise owners, whether it be a McDonald's, whether it be a Dunkin' Donuts, whether it be a sports clip, whether it be a financial firm, a Liberty Tax Service, whoever the case is, these franchises are out there, UPS stores, and they a lot of them have strategic initiatives where they're trying to get veterans into their program to start franchises around the nation, some things going on around the world. We're talking to Steve Caldera. He's the president of the International Franchise Association, who runs VetFran, and you can find the information at vetfran.com, which is VETFRAN.com, or you can also go to franchise.org, which is the International Franchise Association's website. Steve, kind of going a little bit more, looking at this thing on a macro level, in terms of the franchising industry, I know, you know, we talk about the fiscal cliff and we talk about all these different things. I think they are very, very important policies. And I think we kind of need to, you know, because I think people need to hear about this stuff. But what do you anticipate, or what are you guys looking at in terms of growth in the franchise industries? Are we looking at positive things, if things keep on moving, what are we looking at?
Well, again, you know, if you roll the tape back to 2009, we lost 230,000 jobs in the industry. 2010, sales were essentially flat. Revenue was flat in the industry. Last year, we added 150,000 new jobs in the industry. This year, we'll add 165,000 to 167,000 new jobs, nearly 11,000 new establishments. So, you know, we're slowly beginning to rebound. So that's 1.5 to 2% growth in terms of jobs and establishments. So we're in a much better position today than we were, say, in 2008, 9, and 10. But again, as I mentioned earlier in the program, this has been a very difficult legislative and regulatory environment for the business community and the small business community the last 3-4 years. When you look at the impending costs of the health care law and what that may do to some of our small business owners, when you look at the fact that we've been dealing with a lack of access to capital, and again, while slowly improving, it's not where it can and needs to be moving forward. And then you look at the uncertainty around taxes, Derek, both the corporate and individual, that is keeping corporations from making decisions, strategic decisions on what they want to do with their business, how they might want to expand, potentially how they might want to acquire another business. And then it's also keeping prospective franchisees, investors on the sidelines, at least some of them, until they know what their tax rates are going to be,
right,
because they file as individual filers, you know, they put their business profits on their personal income tax. So until we can figure out, you know, hopefully we make some progress, at least a framework, some kind of framework during the lame duck session. We've been pushing for to renew rates, tax rates at all levels for at least a year or 6 months to a year until we can deal with comprehensive tax reform, overhaul the tax system, so we can get the certainty that business owners, both small and large from a corporate standpoint as well, so they can know what to, so they can have the best information about what their obligations are, so they can plan for their future.
When people
and right now, we don't have a lot of that. You've heard a lot about the uncertainty.
Right, exactly.
And that's because there's uncertainty.
Yeah. and you know, people keep on talking about the fiscal cliff, and that's what you're kind of talking about, the tax reform, fiscal cliff, and everything else. And will the one-year dynamic of just kind of, you know, keeping these, what you just kind of mentioned, in place, will that provide at least a level of certainty to get businesses to start hiring a little bit more, or it really just is kind of a framework to kind of keep things steady until we actually have the comprehensive reforms put in place? And Steve, one other question: do you think that people in Congress are really hearing? Are you starting to see the movement? Are you optimistic? I should say.
Well, let's go to your first question. Yes, I think by at least providing the extension of rates for a year would provide some certainty. It certainly wouldn't be long-term certainty, but it'd be short-term certainty. But if members of Congress could provide that bridge, right, and avert this fiscal cliff, right, then that would provide some short-term certainty. But it would also provide an indication to business owners, both large and small, that Congress is going to deal with the issue of tax reform. And so knowing that there's some certainty that our legislators are taking this seriously, I think is a very important sign.
Sure.
You know, but our business owners and our members are also concerned about the fact that we know we can't keep spending money the way we're spending and racking up the debt that we're racking up, and that entitlement reform is desperately needed. When Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security were all started, it was a different time, and they were started for the right reasons. But people are living longer, and we need to look at the fact that we might have to reform some of these programs in order to sustain them and keep them healthy for our children and our grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, what we have been pushing for and what I've said in other interviews this past week is we need thoughtful, respectful, bipartisan dialogue around these critical issues. Look, there's a reason why members of Congress have a 9% approval rating. There's a reason why this was a tough presidential election right down to the end. And while the president certainly won with a big plurality of electoral votes, the personal, the popular vote was very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I think the mandate from the American people is whether you're the president or whether you're a member of Congress is we're tired of the rhetoric. The partisan rancor, the negative rhetoric, and the perpetual gridlock that we seemingly continue to have.
Right.
And so, you know, the American public wants the ball moved down the field. They want certainty around issues that are important to them personally as a household and to them as a business, whether you're small, medium, or large. And that's what the debate needs to be focused on.
I think you couldn't have said it better. You know, one thing I just thought of, Steve, and we got about maybe 2 minutes left real quick. You know, as a veteran, some veterans have access to the VA where they can still get that health care, you know, at either low cost or free or things like that. Does that make them even, any cost that you can save is helpful in your business. Does that even make them a better a better entrepreneur because they can maybe save in certain cost measures?
Well, I mean, I think, look, if you're a veteran and the federal government, rightfully so, is providing for your health care, then I think that's something that veteran, he or she, has earned.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, clearly that's one less cost that veteran may not have to incur. So I think that's a positive thing. But the other thing is, you know, with this new health care law, if you get your business the point where you have 50 full-time equivalent employees, you're either going to have to provide that insurance, mm-hmm. whether you have it or not as a veteran, mm-hmm. for your employees, or you're going to pay a $2,000 per penalty per employee. So, you know, some would say that the health care law is disincentivizing the small business community to grow,
right,
because it puts it at a disadvantage if you're a franchise company as opposed to a independent company that can be across the street and sort of is the same kind of segment that you are, but they only have, you know, 30 employees and they don't franchise. So they don't have to worry about what some of these franchisees have to worry about if, in fact, they're approaching or already over that 50 full-time equivalent employee threshold. And so it's food for thought.
And with this Health Care Act, this stuff is already passed. I mean, is there any possibility in terms of any kind of legislative dynamics that may change that, you know, help small businesses or, you know, especially the franchises are a lot of times small businesses in consideration that will help them a little bit more in this? Or
well, it's a great question. And one, some of the things I think we need to look at, as defined in the Affordable Care Act, you know, full-time employees are 30 hours.
Mm-hmm.
For most companies, if not the majority of companies in this country, it's 37 hours. That may be something that we need to talk to them about in terms of the hours. You know, maybe there's an opportunity to talk about raising the level of the number of employees before you might be,
forced
you might
to do
have
something,
to pay
yeah.
the insurance
sure.
or make the decision not to pay the insurance. So, maybe there's some reporting requirements. Already the 1099 reporting requirement was taken out of the law a little over a year ago. But there are some other reporting requirements that we're going to continue to look at. So anything we can do in a respectful, bipartisan way to mitigate some of the issues within the law that are still being promulgated and tweaked, we're going to continue to work. Look, it's the law of the land. It's going to stick and hold. And so we got to do our best to protect our members and mitigate the costs in a still very challenging economic and public policy climate.
Steve, thanks for the insight. This has been very, very valuable. You guys got some great initiatives going on. I mean, all these are interesting conversations. Steve Caldera, he is the president of the International Franchise Association. They've got a strategic initiative called VetFran. You can find it at VETFRAN.com, vetfran.com. You can find franchise, the International Franchise Association at franchise.org. Steve, definitely got to have you back at some point in time as we go into 2013 and hopefully got some clarity about where some things are going.
Thanks, Derek. Really
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.